Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Michael Salisbury.
Very quickly again. And today they have, they're calling it Super Sunday, or the AFL guys call it Mad Monday or whatever. So it's 24 hours of inappropriate amounts of everything. So I'm sneaking into the lunch, and then I'm just going to stealth light my way out again. It's a dress-up theme, and they're going with an Olympic-style theme this year. And I think, Brett, the first PowerPoint, I'd gave a little trial run this morning. Now, can I say that? That's a legitimate track cycling outfit. One of the blokes at work was an Olympic track cyclist. I made my own helmet, as you can tell. But that outfit is honestly, when you take it off your body, it's about that big. It looks like it would fit Jesse. It takes about 10 minutes to get on. And if I have to do a wee, I have to get completely naked before I can wee. It's like I'm a small child again. Like when Harry first started to get toilet train himself, he wanted to take his pants off and his top off to do a wee. So we'd go out and we'd be at the park and he'd go, I need to do a wee. So I'd take him behind the tree, and the next thing I know, he's just standing there naked in the park weeing. So that's going to be me this afternoon. So you should be thankful that I didn't wear that this morning, because it's terrible. Right. So the supernatural then. So I just want to share just a few thoughts with you guys this morning. And it's just some stuff that Phil and I have been talking about. Like the whole idea of the supernatural and the Holy Spirit at work in us, I think, for me, one of the things that I really see when I think about the Holy Spirit at work within me and the Holy Spirit and the supernatural, I really understand that God can do miracles, and I've experienced that, and I've experienced God doing like big stuff, like, you know, I've seen people be healed and I've seen God move in impossible ways and stuff. But for me, the ongoing supernatural work of the Holy Spirit within me is fairly miraculous over the journey of my life. And I just want us to, before we even start, just keep in mind the fact that the miraculous supernatural working power of the Holy Spirit within us is an ongoing journey, as well as the big one-off occurrences where we can go, oh, wow, when God showed up and did that, or when he answered that prayer. But the fact that we are continuing, hopefully, to grow more and more like Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit within us is supernatural in itself. John 15:5 says, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So this scripture is the importance of being connected, about the importance of being connected into God constantly. And last week we kind of raised the question, how would your life be different? What would it look like if you took God out of it? If you weren't plugged into God, if you weren't a Christian, and Phil kind of talked about this before, what would your life, how would it be different? Would you act differently? Would you talk differently? Would you be a different person? And Phil and I were having this conversation, and we just both were very thankful that God is a part of my life, because we looked at my good traits and my bad traits, and we went, wow, it's a good thing that God's a part of my life and involved in the ongoing work. Because being plugged into God constantly, it's not just about coming to church. It's not just about going to a life group. It's on such a deeper level than that. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being our constant companion. And so this idea of being constantly plugged into God is this work that the Holy Spirit does when we are in constant connection with his power. We're in constant connection with his presence and his spirit. And he's constantly able to speak to us, to move on us, to help us, to guide us, to lead us. It's an ongoing 24/7 thing where we need to be plugged in to the vine as if we are the branches. Because like if Phil talked about, like when you pull a branch off, like it looks fine for the first day. But then when it's disconnected from its trunk for a day or two or three, it starts to go brown, and then the leaves come off, and then pretty soon it's just a brittle stick that has very little value or purpose. It has no potential. It's not going to grow. It's not going to develop. It's not going to make any fruit. It's just a stick. But if that thing was to stay plugged into the trunk, then it has the potential to grow. It has the potential to have leaves and fruit and keep growing and developing and providing shade and serving a whole bunch of functions and purpose. And for us, that's what our life is like. And that's what that verse in John 15 is talking about, that ability to be constantly plugged in. We're going to talk about a bit the fruits of the Spirit today. And for those of you, lots of you probably have read that verse and studied it and talked about it and kind of know it. And for those of you that know it really well, you might think it's wildly hypocritical of me to be the one that talks about those things. But I've kind of, and I said to Phil, are you sure you want me to talk about it? Like it might be a bit, you know, weird and people might go, are you sure, you know. Surely could have found someone better who's a bit more experienced in those things. But I've kind of come to resolve the fact that the only reason I'm qualified to talk about it is because I'm so terrible at them. It's a great witness that the Holy Spirit has just worked constantly in my life so that I can bear those fruits. So we're going to read out the scripture in Galatians 5. So if you've got your Bibles, go to Galatians 5. And just as we read God's word, I just wanted to remind you guys that there is incredible power in the Word of God. Just incredible power. And I've just really been praying that as we read the Word, that God would make it alive to us. He would make it real to us. It talks about the fact that this is the living Word of God, that it is God-inspired, that it is God-breathed, that the same Spirit that lives with us through the Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that is in here. And there's incredible, incredible power in the Word of God. And when we open it, it can be such a great catalyst for God to change our life. It can be such a great catalyst for God to speak to us. So when we come around the Word of God, don't just open up the Bible, but open it up as if you're going to hear from the King himself. Because there's just such incredible power in it. The Bible talks about itself as living, as alive, as breathing, as powerful, as unlimited potential in there. It talks about the fact that it separates soul from spirit, bone from marrow, that it completely dissects us and exposes us, and then it puts us back together again with God's love. There's just unbelievable power in the Word of God. So when you open up the Word of God, and when you read it, do so with expectancy, do so with excitement, yeah, with almost a reverence and a wariness that God might reveal himself to you when you open up the Word of God. And not just here when we read it, but when you're at home. That you can hear God's voice every day through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. When you're sitting on the train and you open it up on your phone and you're going into work and you're reading it, just wait for God to speak to you. Yeah. When you're just dwelling on the Word of God, just expect Him to move and speak to you and change you and grow you and mold you and develop you, because it's not just here as a story. It's here as an incredible life source for us, an incredible way for us to change and grow and develop and stuff. This is an incredible book. Yeah. It's not just a book. It's God's breathing, inspired Word for us. It's unbelievable. We should be a bit excited about the Word of God. We should be a bit reverent about it, a bit expectant about it. It's a good book. All right, let's read it then. Good idea. Okay. Galatians 5, we're going to start in verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature is what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. So you do not do what you want, but you are led by the Spirit. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified their sinful nature. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. A little bit later in chapter 6, it says, each one should test his own actions. Then he can pride himself without comparing himself to someone else, for each of us should carry our own load. So I was thinking about the fruits of the Spirit, and I was just thinking about the ones that come naturally to me. The ones that I don't really have to work on. The ones that, you know, the Holy Spirit works on, but the ones that just come naturally to me. There's one of them. Joy. That's it. I'm good. I can do pretty much, not completely, but I'm pretty good at the joy part. So that one, that fruit of the Spirit, I kind of go, God, you know, we're good with that one. The rest of them, not so much. And then when I look at the acts of the flesh, I go, wow, they come a bit more natural to me. They're things that if I wasn't constantly working on, my fleshly nature would quite happily just take over and run with. I don't need the Holy Spirit's help with drunkenness and orgies. I could probably have those covered myself if I wanted to. But I do need the Holy Spirit's help within me for peace, joy, patience, love, kindness, self-control. I was driving here today, and there was this L-plater in front of me along Centre Road. It took me 9 minutes to travel 300 metres, and I was in the car just going, this is irony, hey God. Like, and I'm going, I said, I may have just, you know, given them one helpful suggestion and used a word which my daughter said, Dad, what does that mean? And I went, I don't know what you're talking about, just turned up the radio. But these are things that I need the Holy Spirit's help with. I need the Holy Spirit to grow those things within me. They don't come naturally. I need to be constantly plugged in. As a branch, I need to be constantly plugged into the vine for those things to grow and develop in my life. And one of the challenges, I reckon, of the fruits of the Spirit is, I've always kind of thought of the fruits of the Spirit as a bit soft. Like, they're a bit kind of lovey-dovey and a bit wimpy and like, growing up, I've just lost about half the people there. There's three people that are going, I agree. But growing up, like, when I was, like, a teenager and, you know, before I became older and wiser, a young adult or whatever that was before this stage right now, I used to go, you know what, I'm all on board the whole Jesus and his righteous anger, flipping the tables over in the temple and making the whip and driving the people out. I'm going to really embrace that part of the Christian faith, and I'm going to let my wife embraced the fruits of the Spirit because she's pretty good at them, you know. But the incredible thing about the fruits of the Spirit is they are so important. It's a serious insight into our walk with God. And it's a real insight into the things that God is constantly working on within us. Luke 6:43 says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." So whatever stuff you're full of, that's what's going to come out. That's what people are going to see. Romans 8:9 says, "You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living within you." Paul talks about this list of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, and it's almost as if this is, if we have the Holy Spirit living within us, these qualities should be evident. It's a work in progress. It's not like we have them all sorted, but it should be evident within us. That we will be recognizable of someone of God because of the fruits of the Spirit within our lives. And that, for me, is a pretty confronting and challenging thing, that every day I go through my life and people should be able to see that I'm a passionate follower of Christ because I'm exemplifying the fruits of the Spirit more and more. So we're just going to go through the fruits of the Spirit briefly. My two good-looking assistants are going to hand out the notes. Really? Do you really want me to go down that road, Troy? Because self-control, maybe not so much right now. So people will know us by our words and by our actions. The fruits of our life that we produce will really define whether we are a true followers of Christ. And that's not to say that we're perfect at them, but we're working on them, because it's pretty easy to just say you're a Christian. It's not even really that hard to show up to church. But it's a real challenge to produce good fruit constantly. And that's what we're called to do. So the first one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. First way first evidence, I guess, of that sense that God is at work within us is the fruit of the Spirit of love. And we can see that at work in so many different ways. Our most amazing example of that, obviously, is the way that God loves us so much that he gave us his only Son. He loves us with a perfect, unconditional love. And so there's a love that we have for God. There's a love that we have for other people. You know, the Bible talks about the most important thing is to love other people more than you love yourself, to love other people the way that God loved you, not because of what they can offer you, not because of, you know, things that they can do, not because of who they are, but just to love them. And that can be challenging at times because we're called to love those that don't necessarily love us. And that's kind of contrary to sometimes to our natural tendencies. Or to mine, anyway. The next fruit of the Spirit is joy. Speaking to his disciples, Christ said in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full." When we translate the Greek word for joy, it talks about cheerfulness, calmness, delight, gladness. Do we evidence joy in our life? Do we face trials with cheerfulness, with calm delight, with gladness? And that kind of should be our goal as we go on our Christian walk. And obviously that's not easy, but again, it comes down to the fact that these fruits of the Spirit aren't things that we can do by themselves, but it's through the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit that we have the ability to continue to grow these fruits, to develop these things, and to let them be an evidence of the fact that God is at work within us. The third evidence of having God's Holy Spirit working within you is peace. John 14:27, it says, "Christ said to his disciples, 'Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, but let not your heart be troubled, let it not be afraid.'" So it's talking about quietness, it's talking about rest. So we should be people who remain at peace through the trials, through negative circumstances and challenges. And it talks about peace not as the world knows it. So it surpasses human understanding. It's supernatural peace. It's in the midst of the chaos in your life to be able to go, "It's okay. It's going to be okay." When everyone else is freaking out about something, you go, "It's going to be okay." And that's the supernatural peace of God at work within your life. Long-suffering, suffering long, enduring through trials is the fourth evidence of the Holy Spirit's work within our lives. And when we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good for them who love God and are to them who are called according to his purpose." So that requires a certain degree of patience at times to remember in the midst of the trials that it's going to be okay, that God has it sorted. And it's really more than patience, because although we're called to exercise patience at times, the definition of it is really like patience is something like waiting while enduring some kind of pain. So it's like patience under duress is what we're talking about here. We're not just talking about being patient while we're lined up waiting for something, you know, when you're at the shop and knucklehead can't work the cash register even though that's his job, and can't figure out the change. And like, we're not called to be judgmental or angry at that, you know, bloke. That's not the patience we're talking about here. We're talking about patience where we suffer, when we're under duress, when things are really, really hard, and yet we still trust that God has it under control. Gentleness. So gentleness in the Galatians 5, the Greek word, it kind of comes out as goodness, as kindness, as gentleness. That's the translation. That it's really realizing that we all require some degree of kind of handling with care. That it means that we deal with people in such a way as we take into consideration their needs and their feelings, and we take those things into consideration, that everyone has certain sensitivities, just as we do, that just because we like to be very blunt and direct and brief doesn't mean everyone likes to have conversations like that. Some people like to, you know, just chat. Some people like to, you know, just get it done nicely and gently, and other people, you know. So it's just taking all those things into consideration, that we really approach people. We approach people within our church, within our community, people we meet with gentleness. The fact that we should be more worried about the way that they are going to respond and feel, and that we have that mindset rather than just focused on ourselves. I have done that better this year. Thank you, Phil. I have not. Do you know what? This year, I've made less people cry at my work than any other year. And I just want to say, sometimes I'll even set myself a little goal of trying to not make anyone cry for a whole week. And occasionally I get there, you know. So God is definitely at work within my life. Hey? Some of them? I can be quite nasty at times. No, honest, not nasty. It's not nasty if you're honest. goodness. When we talk about goodness, as we're talking about fruits of the Spirit, we're talking about doing or producing good, like acts of charity and kindness and stuff. Probably the best way to think about the fruit of the Spirit of goodness is the scripture out of Matthew 5:44 that says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despise you and persecute you." So, you know, it's really, that one's really working on that whole thing of loving people despite the fact that they don't love you back. That doing stuff for people who you will never get anything back for. The next one is faith. And it's listed in 1 Corinthians as a gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about like that idea of without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's proof that God will make good on his word. It's our proof that he will intervene in our trials. Through faith we can be assured that God will never make us endure more than we can handle when we do it with him. So this is a great one to just see continue to grow in your life. And as the thing you'll find is, as you grow in your faith, the challenges that you will face will become larger, but it's okay because you'll have the capacity to do those. And that's kind of a constant pattern, because God promises he will never let us face something that we can't handle if we go to him with it. We might not be able to handle it if we're just doing it on our own, but if we go to him and we're looking for his strength, we're looking for these other things like peace and joy and stuff in our life, through God we'll be able to handle whatever we have to. Meekness. Gentleness, humility is the next one. I guess it's a quality that we often think about sometimes maybe as weakness. You know, those people that you might take their lunch money from, bit of a pushover, easily swayed. But a meek individual is not a weak individual. In fact, Moses was described as a man who was very meek. He was above all men. And so meekness is more about, it's not a lack of strength, it's more about an attitude of approaching God through humility, realizing that we can't do things on our own, but through God's strength we can. So it's this attitude almost of humility, that when we come to God with a reverence, and we come to God with a knowledge and an understanding that we genuinely need his strength to do what we do. But through Christ we can do all things. The last one of the fruits of Spirit is self-control. So those who have God's Spirit dwelling within them should be working constantly to exercise self-control over their emotions and actions. And this one, I think, is one that is really obvious to people around us. And you could probably ask some of the people that are closest to you, some of the people that really only see you behind closed doors, do they think you evidence? Because it's kind of easy to be self-controlled in this situation. But sometimes when I'm just kind of in the car, not so much, or when I'm just at home, or when I'm, you know, by myself, they're the challenges, and that's when we need the Holy Spirit to constantly be at work in us. And the scripture in Matthew that talks about by our fruits we shall be known. You know, so if we want to look and we want to go, all right, God, are you at work in us? How have you been working in us? A good question to ask yourself is, if we were to look at each of those fruits of the Spirit over the last 12 months, have you grown in those? And that's a really good indicator of the fact that we are allowing God to work within us and on us. Because if our goal is to constantly be more like Jesus, and to be growing more and more like Him, then this is a great checklist. And I can say that for me to talk about these things, like I said before, is not at all hypocritical, because I can genuinely see over the journey of my life the way that God has developed those things in me. Those things that being funny about it, some of those things really do not come naturally to me at all. They're very contrary to my nature and my character. But the fact that I can constantly try and display those things for me is real evidence of the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that has been at work and is constantly at work in my life. And that's the thing, that we need to work on it, and then God works within us. In Luke 18:15, Jesus said, "It's by persevering that we make a good crop." In 2 Peter, it says we're told to make every effort to add certain qualities to our faith so that we will be fruitful. So we need to do our bit and then trust that God will continue to work within us. No one ever said it was going to be easy, but God didn't ask us to do it through our strength. So as we continue our supernatural theme, we just need to remember that it's the big things, the really, amazing, miraculous things that God does that are sometimes very evident, and we go, wow, that's the supernatural. And it is. But the supernatural is also the constant work of the Holy Spirit within our life, growing and developing us. And that's an incredible supernatural thing as well. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you are God. I thank you that you are good to us, that you are faithful to us, that you love us, that you are passionate about us, Lord God. And I just really thank you for the time that we have had, Lord God, just in your presence, Lord God, that you made us so acutely aware of the fact that you were here this morning. And we would just ask, Lord God, as we are to go out this week into the world, Lord, you would just continue to work on us. You would work on those things, those fruits of the Spirit within us, Lord God, that they would become more and more evident, Lord God, that they would be a great evidence that you are at work within us. And we thank you, Lord God, for everything you have in store for us, Lord God, as a church and as individuals. And we just pray that we would be very aware of the fact that you are there with us every step of the way. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.